Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, amma ba'd. So tonight we'll cover verses 27 till 35 from Surah An-Naml. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem.
قال سننظر أصدقت أم كنت من الكاذبين اذهب بكتابي هذا فألقه إليهم ثم تول عنهم فانظر ماذا يرجعون قالت يا أيها الملأ إني ألقي إلي كتاب كريم إنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا تعلوا علي وأتوني مسلمين قالت يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في أمري ما كنت قاطعة أمرا حتى تشهدون قالوا نحن أولو قوة وأولو بأس شديد والأمر إليك فانظري ماذا تأمرين قالت إن الملوك إذا دخلوا قرية أفسدوها وجعلوا أعزة أهلها أذلة وكذلك يفعلون وإني مرسلة إليهم بهدية فناظرة بما يرجع المرسلون.
So we'll continue with the story of Sulaiman عليه السلام and the Hudhud. We said the hoopoe, and we talked about the bird. It's not a common bird. It's an endangered, in fact, these days. And it is, I don't know how many of you have looked it up since last time, if you don't know what it is. Do you have an idea how it looks like? Yeah. Few of you? You can look it up. And it's a, like I said, a very delicate bird. It has a long curved beak and a nice crown. And it has stripes of white and black, especially on the wings. And it flies like a butterfly. And it flies long distances. And this is why يعني, Sulaiman was utilizing the hoopoe for long distance missions. And if you see what it did, it went from Palestine all the way to Yemen, because Sheba, that tribe, used to be in Yemen. And Sulaiman was in the Holy Land. So you could imagine the distance that this hoopoe traveled. And just to recap from last time, when Solomon was checking his army and his followers, he was missing the hoopoe and he got a bit upset. And he asked about the hoopoe. And before you know it, it showed up. And it told them the news, the important news about these people that Solomon himself did not know about. And that these people don't worship Allah. And that was a surprise. It was a shock to the hoopoe that there are people who do not know God. And it made him upset also that these people need something, need guidance. And this is why it, you know, it traveled all the way and came back to Solomon. So now Solomon, to check it out, he said, tell me more. Tell me what you saw. And the Hudhud, the hoopoe, went on to describe what these people were doing. The fact that they were worshiping the sun instead of worshiping the one God. And in a way, he was complaining about what they were doing. Like, how can they worship, how can they prostrate to the sun and not prostrate to the creator of all of that? So now, Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to test the hoopoe. So he said, we're going to see if you're telling the truth or not. So what we're going to do, I'm going to send you again to Yemen. So that was your first trip. Now it's going to be your second trip. And I'm going to send you there with a letter. I'm going to send you with a letter to the queen of Sheba. And this is what we're going to read today. So I have one of the translations. And by the way, and maybe every time I'll bring a different one, but this one I definitely recommend. I know a lot of people ask, like, what is a good translation in English? And they're not one single translation that's good in everything. What I like about this one is the fact that it is really simple English. You don't find thou and shall and, you know, I don't know, these fancy old English terms. It's really easy English, modern English, and it may not be word for word, but it delivers the meaning. It conveys the meaning very simply. And I'll share with you a sample so you know what I'm talking about. And it's available on Amazon if you like to order it. It's available on Amazon, and it's translated. The translation is by a Muslim. His name is M.A.S. Abdul Halim. And it's printed by Oxford. It's one of the classics by Oxford. Okay, so the verses for today from 27 again till 35. It says, Solomon said, we shall see whether you are telling the truth or lying. Take this letter of mine and deliver it to them. Then withdraw and see what answer they send back. The queen of Sheba said, counselors, now she's talking to her counselors. So she said, counselors, a gracious letter has been delivered to me. It is from Solomon, and it says, in the name of God, the Lord of mercy, the giver of mercy. Sometimes we say the compassionate, the merciful. Like Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Arabic. Do not put yourselves above me. So this is Solomon speaking to the queen of Sheba. And the content of the letter is few sentences. First, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and then he said, do not put yourselves above me, and come to me in submission to God. She said, counselors, give me your counsel in the matter I now face. I only ever decide on matters in your presence. They replied, we possess great force and power in war, but you are in command. So consider what orders to give us. She said, whenever kings go into a city, they ruin it and humiliate its leaders. That is what they do. But I'm going to send them a gift. Then see what answer my envoys bring back. So this is the passage, inshallah, we go over today. And primarily what you see is a conversation between the Queen of Sheba and her people, trying to decide on this, you know, matter that came out of the blue. Now, first we see that Solomon writes a letter and gives it to the hupo. And the hupo is in charge of delivering this letter all the way to Yemen. Now, you see Solomon commanding the hupo with four commands. He said, اذهب بكتابي هذا, go with this letter. ألقه إليهم. Number two, you cast it at them. And some, you know, scholars of Quran, they said the hupo flew until he was right above the Queen of Sheba. She was not noticing the hupo. And he threw it in her lap. He threw that letter. I don't know how close I can get. But they can hear it. Could we raise the volume? And it's not working? Okay. I'll try my best. It's really close, but yeah, maybe get the assistance from the other.
Try this one. Profound.
Let's leave them both.
Okay. Is it on?
Yes, it is on. I'm surrounded now.
We're going to put more speakers hopefully next week.
Okay, inshallah. There's a promise, more speakers upstairs, inshallah. Okay. So he gave the hupo four orders. Number one, you take the letter. Number two, you throw it to the Queen of Sheba. And the scholars have said it came right above the Queen of Sheba and threw the letter in her lap. And she was startled, like, where did that come from? She didn't notice the hupo. And then he said, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. And then you go far, keep a distance, so they don't see you. And then he said, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Command number four, stay there and watch. So yes, you stay far so they don't see you, but at the same time, don't go too far, because I want to see how they react. And this is really interesting because, you know, King Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he's a prophet too, he's not trying to scare them. He wants to see that conversation. What are they thinking about? What are their priorities? Is it about materialism, materialistic things, or is it about a higher concept? So this is what Solomon, Sulaiman wanted to see from these people. So now the Queen of Sheba said, you know, some kings, they get a letter like that and they hide it or they burn it. But the Queen of Sheba was really smart. So what she did, immediately she started consulting with her team. And this is really important because shura is an important concept in Islam. And shura is when you have a team, even if you are a king or a president, you need a cabinet, you need people to consult with. You need more than one opinion. So she said, an honorable book came to me. And it is from Sulaiman. And the content of it is, so she did not conceal, she did not hide any part of that letter. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just an anecdote. This is the only time where you see Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the body of the Quran. All the other cases, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is between chapters, between surahs. This is the only time where you see Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the body, in the chapter, inside the surah. All the other exception might be Surah Al-Fatiha, because some scholars argue that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim only in Surah Al-Fatiha is part of Fatiha. And this is why if you open, and I like, inshallah, when you guys open the Quran, just ask questions like, why is it, for example, if you open and look at Surah Al-Fatiha, majority of the copies, you notice that only in Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is ayah number 1. Now you go to the next surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim does not have any number. And ayah number 1 is the next ayah. And the reason is because many scholars consider Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim to be a verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. But it is not a verse in the rest of the Quran. So you ask, well, why is it in the Quran if it is not a verse? It is a verse, but it is a separate verse. It does not belong to the surah. It does not belong to the chapter. It is there to separate between chapters. So it's like a separator. But only in Surah Al-Fatiha. Some scholars, even for Surah Al-Fatiha, they say it's not part of Surah Al-Fatiha. And that leads to a different difference as well, a different, mas'ala or issue, whether you recite, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim out loud in Salat. You notice some schools, they recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim out loud, like a Shafi'i school, for example. Whereas you notice Hanafi, they do not say it out loud. So that's also linked somewhat to this issue. But there are other technicalities. Okay. So the letter from Sulaiman said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, don't even try to fight me. لا تعلو علي. Don't even think about it. And وَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ, and come to me in submission. Now here Muslimin, it means submission to God, not submission to Sulaiman. And Solomon used the word Muslim. By the way, you see this in the Quran a lot. Like prophets and messengers using the word Muslim. And this is why we say that Islam is not something that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam brought for the first time. I mean, a lot of people get a little surprised and even shocked or upset. If you go tell a Christian that Jesus was a Muslim, some people get offended. But that's what we believe, because Islam means submission. And all the prophets and messengers were sent by the same God with the same message in essence. The only difference is that Islam, the last version, if you will, had more, you know, laws. The way we pray, for example, might be a little different than how Jesus or Moses prayed. The way we fast could be a little different than how Abraham or Ismail or Yunus, how they fasted. So these are slight differences, but the essence, the main message is the same. Like all of them called people to worship one God. All of them worshiped one God, one way, worshiped one God, one way or another. All of them taught people about the attributes of God in the same way. There's no difference. Because God does not change, and therefore the message does not change either. So this is why we say that all these people were Muslim. So he said, come to me as Muslims. And he used the word Muslim. Now that's it. That's the message of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So now she said, O people, O my counselors, my chiefs, my lieutenants, if you will, tell me what you think. Aftuni fi amri, give me a fatwa. And here fatwa means give me your opinion. What do you guys think? Because I'm not going to make my own decision. I'm not going to make a decision on my own. I need your opinion. So they said, well, we're powerful. We have a strong army. Let's go ahead and fight. Obviously, she's a woman. They're men. That could be a factor. So they said, well, you know, we have lots of might. We have lots of, you know, big army, military might, if you will. So we're ready. Just tell us what to do. Give us the command. Give us the green light. We're at it. Now look at her wisdom. This queen was wise. She said, well, you know, think about it though. If we don't win, I mean, she's thinking about the pros and cons. And anytime you plan anything, this is one lesson we learn. Don't just think about, well, if I win, this will happen. Always have a plan B. That's her plan B. She said, okay, fine. We may win, but what happens if we lose? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to our towns and cities? What's going to happen to our population? So now she doesn't know about Sulaiman. She's talking about kings in general. So she said, indeed, the kings, when they enter a town, a city, they will corrupt it. Meaning, they will destroy it. That's what they do. And then they would go to the nobles of that city, and they will humiliate them. And this is common in war. They want to humiliate, you know, the attacking army want to humiliate the leaders and the nobles. And then she said, وَأَنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ. What I'm going to do instead, I'm going to send them a present and see how they react. Now what she's doing here, and this is a great lesson we could learn. This is what we call testing water. Like I'm not going to give Sulaiman an answer right away. Rather, I'm going to do something and study his reaction. And from that, I can tell his intention. And that tells you how smart she is. Like Sulaiman is asking her, come with me, you know, come to my command, to my submission. Give me a yes or no. And she did not answer. She did not say, I'm coming or not coming. She did not say, I will be a Muslim or not a Muslim. She did not give the answer yet because she's not ready. And rather she said, I'm going to test it out. I'm going to see how he reacts. Is he this mighty king who wants to come and destroy and he all cares about is power? Or is he something else? So what did she send? Why did she send a gift? Well, if Solomon received the gift and he took it and he's happy with it, and some scholars mentioned that gift was pretty expensive. We're not talking about some cheap candy. No, I'm just kidding. in some narration it says, Allahu A'lam, it's a narration that some scholars of tafsir mentioned. She sent like thousands of servants and blocks of gold, like 500 blocks of gold, like blocks, not a small little ring or something like that, a block of gold, not to mention like all the types of silk and stuff like that. Pretty impressive stuff. So that's a gift we're talking about. Now she's gonna solicit the reaction from Sulaiman. If he takes it, that means he's a king. He's about materialistic possessions. If he does not accept it, then he's looking for something else. He's not looking for money. He's not looking to conquer land and take its wealth. He's looking for something higher than that. SubhanAllah, if you think about the seerah, you know when the Muslims were in Mecca and they were, tortured, they fled to Habasha, Abyssinia, right? You know the story when they fled to Abyssinia, and there was a king, a Christian king, who was very just. And they heard about him, that's why they went to him, Al-Najashi. And Al-Najashi initially accepted these Muslims. They were, poor, weak, and they sought refuge with the king. So he said, of course, I am for it. And then the people of Mecca, the pagans of Quraysh, they sent Mus'ab bin Umair, who was a very smart individual. He was not a Muslim at the time. He was a Muslim later, because he's the one who conquered Egypt later. But at the time, he was still, mushrik. And he was a very young man at the time, but very smart. So he brought a lot of gifts, just like here, just like Queen of Sheba. So he brought with him lots of gifts. And he knew Al-Najashi, because they had some trade. The Arabs had trades with Abyssinia at the time. Now, Al-Najashi was not about money. He was not one of those kings who cared about material possessions. So when Mus'ab came, he wanted to bribe Al-Najashi. But Al-Najashi wouldn't do that. He said, I cannot give you these people. They came to me seeking help, support from me. I'm not going to give them to you. And from there, you learn that Al-Najashi was not about dunya. He was not about material possessions. And this is why later he became a Muslim. He became a Muslim later. And the Prophet ﷺ prayed janazah on him. Janazat al-Ghaib, of course. Prophet Muhammad did not travel to Abyssinia, but he prayed janazah on him in absentia. Like he was in Medina and he prayed on Al-Najashi. But the point is, this is what the Queen of Sheba was trying to sense from Sulaiman. What kind of king is he? And of course, she's going to learn that he's not the type who cares about material possessions. Rather, he wanted something much higher. He wanted these people to be guided. And this is exactly the reason why he sent this hukbo. One of the important lessons we learn also is that don't rush into conclusions. Don't rush into making a decision. Also, consult with the people around you. And you see that even when she wanted to make a decision, she also was poking among her lieutenants. She wanted to see her, for example, some kings, especially the tyrants, if they receive a letter like that, even before consulting anyone around them, they would say, this king, who does he think he is? I have my might, I have my army. Go, let's go attack. Let's go and march and attack the other, army. But this queen, initially, even before she said, the kings will corrupt and everything, she did not say anything about her own opinion. She was trying to study the reaction of her own people. Are they ready or not? And this is such an important skill that I want all of us to learn. Anytime you're in charge of a team, you're in charge of a number of people, and you have something in mind, and it's really attractive to you. You want to do this. This is the one opinion you have in mind, and you're totally convinced about it. Don't say anything until you check it out. Ask the people around you, what do you think? What's your opinion of this? Because then you can tell if they're ready to do what you want or not. And this is such an important skill, like I said. Get, the feedback. See if people are ready to execute what you want. Even if you're a leader, some people, because they're so proud and they're so arrogant, they don't care what other people think about around them. Even the followers, they don't care about their followers. Like, I don't care, I'm marching this way, I'm going this way, I don't care what you think. So this is not how the Queen of Sheba did. It was totally the opposite. She studied her people very well. She got their opinion first, the feedback, and then she stated her position. And the second thing is, same with Sulaiman. She did not respond to Sulaiman right away. Rather, she sent a gift to study his reaction. She was a very calculating person, and she understood the what it takes to be a true leader. Because leadership is about understanding your people, understanding your enemy as well. And she did exactly that. She knew how to understand. She understood her people before they understood her. She listened to her people before they listened to her. Because now, again, if you're proud, you want to talk all the time. You want people to be listening all the time. She was doing the opposite. She was listening first, and then she spoke. So inshallah, I think this is one of the great lessons we can learn from her. She's not a Muslim yet. She'll be a Muslim later when she meets Sulaiman. But you could see from the beginning, she was a woman of wisdom. She was a woman of wisdom. And you can learn a lot from her tactics, her behavior, her code of conduct, if you will. So inshallah, we'll stop here. This is what I want to cover. Inshallah, maybe next time we'll finish the story of Sulaiman. And we get more lessons, inshallah, from that beautiful story.